If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome, everybody, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm BJ.
And I'm Austin.
And we are doing everything backwards today. This is going to be me talking about all of the Dragon Quest games that I think you should play and kind of the things that you need to be focusing on in each of them as you go through. And because Austin has been kind of talking a whole lot over the last few days, over the last few episodes. And so we thought that this would be a good opportunity for me to kind of take over, give him a rest, and get some of the hot takes that I have about games that you will be complaining about after this episode.
Did you... You didn't acknowledge my sad Eeyore, I'm Austin, because that's how you say your name like every time.
It is. That's why I didn't say anything, because it was just the same cadence. So I just thought it was like the same, figured I would just go with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, way to go. I'm BJ.
Cool. Just
like, yeah.
So tell us things.
Okay, so when I first started Dragon Quest, it was the very first one back in the NES days, back when they gave it away for Nintendo Power subscriptions, where they were basically begging people to both play Dragon Quest and subscribe to Nintendo Power at the same time. It was really cool. And so going back that far, I always associate Dragon Quest with that initial picture of a slime fight outside of the castle when you first start. Like, that is, if whenever we mention Dragon Quest to this day, that's what pops up into my head. And one of the things that I think, if you're starting with Dragon Quest 1, that you need to keep in mind is that it's actually pretty hard to begin with, that you absolutely have to grind. That I don't know about you, Austin, whenever you went through it, and I know you've played it through more than I have, but every time I do it, I have to probably grind a good like 2 hours to be able to get to the point where I can beat the green dragon and move on through the cave to get to the princess.
Yeah, definitely. So I've only played the NES version once, but definitely so in that version. The mobile and Switch versions of the game, because I've replayed this one a few times, because it's kind of like the, hey, I want to play a quick 6 hour RPG that I'm going to have fun
right.
with. Like, this is kind of a go-to of mine now, because, you know, you can play it really fast, and at this point I know everywhere to go. But I think there was that time that I think you actually sat there and watched me beat it whenever I was doing kind of like a speed run on the Switch of the game. Like, that one, I didn't really stop to grind too much on, but, you know, I mean, it made it a whole lot tougher. And there were still times when, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't grind at all, but like in that one, because I was trying to see how fast I could get through it, it was kind of like I was running to everything under leveled from where I should have been.
Yeah.
And it did make the fights a little harder. And there's even a couple of times I probably should have died because of like RNG from enemy attacks. I lucked out. And so like, that's probably the one time that I haven't spent a lot of time just grinding, but generally. I usually like to, in older Dragon Quest games, what I like to do is grind up a lot initially so that like the next, like whatever chunk of game is going to be a breeze for me.
Yep.
So I'll just like mindlessly grind for a while, and it's kind of cathartic sometimes, especially playing on a handheld, like Switch or the 3DS. I can just kind of watch TV while I mindlessly grind, but then it makes the game a lot easier for the next like 3 or 4 hours, you know.
I mean not
for the first one. The first one, like, you'd be done by then, but but like the later entries and stuff makes the next like chunk of the game easier. So that's kind of like my approach to basically all of them up through like I'd say probably, well, really all of them. Actually,
all of
them,
yeah.
About it. Yeah, I mean, they require, some of them require more than others, but especially like the first, I want to say like the first like six probably require the most. And then, well, I don't know. Actually, I did a lot with classes on seven too. I don't know.
But
I'm talking
don't,
too
I don't,
much.
I don't actually think in seven, and we'll get there in a little bit, that seven is that grindy to me, because I was always able to work on one. I was usually working on only one or two characters on their jobs at one time, their vocations. So I would have other characters that were really high. So as I was just playing the game and going around normally, they were gaining a lot in there because it was, you know, higher level stuff, and gaining in their jobs and vocations. And so I never felt like in seven I had to grind a lot. In four, I feel like I still did. But then again, four was also still an NES game, even though I played the remakes.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think for seven, for me, like the grind came from because I was trying to master all the classes. You didn't go all the way up through mastering everything, did you?
Not everything. No,
okay.
No.
Yeah, like that's where, that's kind of where it was for me. Like I had to get the, I think it's called Champion on the 3DS version. It's like the top tier,
yeah,
most powerful thing you can get.
Yeah.
Like I went through and had that as my main character, and as what's his name? It's Gabo, because I played the PS1 version.
Rough,
thank you. Like I had Maribel being a sage. I think I still stuck Maribel with a sage, and then I had like Sir Mervin as a champion as well. And I'm trying to think, on the PS1 version, I think it's called like maybe like God Hand or something. It's something different. I've only played the PS1 version once, and it was back during like COVID. You know how like a lot of people talk about having like fog brain from,
yeah,
like
locked. I do.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is for me. Where like I remember playing it because I wanted to dedicate myself to like a long game that was also kind of comforting. So I played the PS1 version, and it's also grindier in its own way because, you know, the remake on 3DS did streamline a lot of stuff. I would say most of 7's grinding came from me wanting to like have maxed out vocations and everything, rather than it necessarily being one of those things where I was like, oh, I can't get past this boss, I'm going to have to go and grind for 2 hours. Like, there was never like that kind of thing.
And like, you know, you mentioning the COVID fog that happened during 2020. I guess I shouldn't even say COVID fog, the pandemic lockdown fog that everything happened, that ambient stress. You know, I was thinking about that yesterday. So like, you don't remember like everything about that. And I was, I downloaded yesterday Fire Emblem Three Houses back on my Switch, because I remember when it came out that the DLC was done in waves, right? So I was like, oh, I never went back and beat the story part of the DLC. I think I bought that, so I should, you know, finish that, because I'm in the mood for a strategy RPG. After, you know, getting on the 3DS and seeing that I'd forgotten that I'd even bought some of the other Fire Emblem games. Mm-hmm. And so I get on there and I look at it, and I thought Fire Emblem Three Houses, first of all, I didn't buy the expansion pass like I thought I did. So that was still money that I need to spend that I'm not going to right now. But I realized how badly the kind of lockdown fog, the COVID fog, hit me, was because that game came out in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's 2023 and it's been 4 years, and I feel like it has been about 6 to 8 months since I played that game. like Fallon and I were talking, and it was like, I feel like I lost that time. Like I really do. Like I remember this game and I remember playing it. And one of the reasons that I haven't gone back to it in the future, in the past little while, to get the other storylines that I wanted to, is because I just played through it. That was 4 years ago, man. Like, just playing through it was 4 years ago, and I do not recall it being in 2019 before the pandemic that came out. I was thinking that was totally, like, one of the games I was playing alongside Animal Crossing after that, but my save was 2019. I was like, oh, my God. Just that fog. Like, I'm like, I guess I'm ready to play through this game again, since I thought it was 6 months and it's been 4 years. One of those things. Like, I literally lost time on this one. that I feel like it's crazy. But the whole, like, Dragon Quest 2 and 3, I can't say a whole lot about because I've only gotten through a few hours of each multiple times. And part of the reason is I don't like Middenhall. I don't like the way he looks. And so that is actually a big part of the reason I haven't played through a lot of it. And also because of the frustrations that you and Liam and a lot of other people have talked about toward the end with the, I can't remember what it is, like the cave to hell. I don't remember what the
Roan or Renderak, depending on which version you play.
Yeah, like, I don't want to do that. Like, the text messages that you sent me for the remake of it, the mobile version, I'm just like, I'm good. You know, I don't want to, like, start, like, killing, like, the people around me out of rage from playing this. And so,
I did not kill people around me.
No, it just seems so frustrating on that end, like so many things about it that I've kind of avoided too. And three, I went back to start playing not long ago on the Switch and decided I was going to wait on the HD 2D version, the 2D HD version, the remake that's coming out at some point in the future, soon, TM. And so I'm going to wait on that version to play because I don't like replaying stuff as much as you. So I know that if I play three before that, like all the way through, like I always get like 4 or 5 hours in and then stop. But I know that if I actually get into and try to beat the game, I'll not play the new version. Just, it'll be like, oh yeah, I just played this game. Kind of like I was talking about Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I get that.
But four is one of those really interesting games to me. So four is a really, really, really good game. I do not suggest anybody play the mobile version, though. Did you ever try the mobile version of 4?
No, but you and I have talked about it. I don't know if we've talked about it. I think we've talked about it on here as well. But you told me the controls were really bad, and
The controls are just awful. And as much as you have to, and the reason they're awful is because you have to constantly rotate the camera to see things, and not having shoulder buttons and the shoulder buttons are what did it on the 3DS, and not having shoulder buttons on mobile where they're just like screen buttons on the side, it got really, really like painfully annoying to play. So I didn't end up playing that one on mobile, and then I ended up doing it on 3DS when I got it, and I broke it up a lot because it's in chapters, right? You get all of these different chapters, and then it's a convergent narrative where they come together at the end. And I remember finishing it and telling you, I don't really see why people like this game. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it feels so broken apart. It feels just like there wasn't any kind of big through line. There wasn't anything like really to latch onto. And this is one of those games that the further I am from it, the more I like it. That if you ever have one of those games where you weren't really sure that you liked it at first, and then you think back on it and like you have those rose colored glasses, you have those fond memories of playing it. And it's like, oh yeah, I guess I really did like that. That's kind of how I feel about 4.
7. Like, 7 was that for me. Like, I know I did when we were doing episodes on 7, like I talked about how like I felt like I really hated that game the first time I was playing it. And I've gone back and replayed it since then because there's just times where I was like, "You know what? I think I really did." Like even when I was playing it, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I love this job system so much." But
Right. It's very good.
7, like just in terms of Dragon Quest, 7 was very much that kind of game for me. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to go back and play 4 again because of that. But at the same time, I want to go back and play 4 again because of that. It's a really weird place, but I know I'm not gonna because I need to get through 5 and 6. That was not I don't know what accent I had on 5 there, 5 and 6. But I need to play 5 and 6. But I do actually just need to play 5 and 6. I've only played bits and pieces of them on the Famicom emulated versions of them. The Super Famicom.
I remember watching you play 5, like the emulated version of 5 when I was over at your house one year. Like, yeah, I knew you didn't beat it, but I remember like watching you play it. You got kind of far in it though, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, from what I'm remembering, like getting into the monster recruiting and all of that stuff, like I really like it. But there was something that I don't like. Okay, so when I was a teenager, I played emulator games like mad because I was all about playing games that weren't available in the U.S. and had fan translations. So now, whenever I sit down, I've realized I don't like playing JRPGs on, or really any RPGs on PC. That if I were to have like a really good like emulator handheld, the BitBoy I have isn't really a good one. If I could play it on like a good handheld or something like that, I'd be much better, but I don't like playing it on PC. And since that's where the emulators are, it just doesn't, I can't bring myself to play long games in them. I'll play older, classic games that maybe I can't find a copy of, or maybe just not on Switch Online or one of the virtual consoles. But in terms of playing like 5 and 6, the original versions, I really, really, really want to again and get through there, because honestly, 6 is one of the most beautiful Super Famicom games that they ever made. It's absolutely gorgeous. If y'all have not looked at the sprites for this and the graphics on it, I implore you to go look at Dragon Quest 6 on the Super Famicom and just like behold at what they were able to make the Super Nintendo do, and got completely overshadowed by Chrono Trigger, because it was being worked on at roughly the same time and released near the same time, if I'm remembering right. Like they were within a year of each other, if not just a few months. Am I right, or am I just making that part up?
No, you're not wrong. They were worked on at the same time. They were worked on at the same time, yes, for sure. But Dragon Quest VI came after. But that's why Yuji Horii has said there's like story beats and stuff that they couldn't return to with VI, is because he was so busy with Chrono Trigger. I believe both of them were released in 95.
Right.
I know Dragon Quest was, and Chrono Trigger released first, but we did that whole deep dive into like Chrono Trigger's real release date, because it's one of those like things that people celebrate the release date like multiple times a year.
It's really funny too.
And anyway, so that's where I'm kind of like, yeah, about it. But I believe that they both released in 1995. Dragon Quest VI came after.
And it's gorgeous. And I love Chrono Trigger, right? Like I really, really love Chrono Trigger. And so it is really sad to me that A, you don't like Chrono Trigger that much, but I think it's because it got overhyped to you over time. And we've talked about this a lot in the past, so I'm not going to dwell there, but I really, really hate that because of 100 different reasons at the time, DQ6 never got to come over to the United States, never got an English translation. It really makes me sad because of just how pretty it is.
Until the DS version.
Until the DS version, right. I'm completely talking about the Super Famicom version of it. Yeah,
you're living in the 90s right now.
I'm living in the 90s right now, which is pretty much my life anyway these days. So it's just like I can't deal with what's going on in the present. So I just revert back to 12-year-old BJ in 1995.
The spirit of the 90s is alive in BJ.
It's true. I can't remember the tune of that song.
From Portlandia?
Yeah. Yes, watch it. It's great. Spirit of the 90s is alive. It's fantastic. Y'all go Google it right now. But 6 is one of those that I'm going to play. And actually recently, I know I mentioned this last week, y'all. If you're listening to this live when it comes out, the 3DS eShop is closing in like 7 days. I think it's the 27th is the last day that you're going to be able to buy 3DS games from the Nintendo eShop. And there are Dragon Quest games on there that you can get. I highly suggest going and picking up what's there if you don't already have them. But 4, 5, and 6 were regular DS games, so you can't get them. So you can buy DQ7 and 8 on there. And definitely worth getting. But my way that that's leading in is because I restarted, like I said, my 3DS to get whatever was on there, make sure I got all the stuff off the eShop that I wanted, and ended up like realizing how much I love this system. Like, I really, really love the 2DS and 3DS like handheld system. I am so sad that as much as I love the Switch, I'm so sad that they didn't continue with this dual screen kind of thing in the 3D technology. Like, I don't know. I love it. And it's kind of just comforting. And so I've been looking at, whenever I finish up the Fire Emblem Fates playthrough that I'm doing right now, that I will get back to DQ6. We had a wonderful listener,
Sam Steele,
thank you for sending me a copy of the UK version of Dragon Quest VI, because the US version is absurdly expensive. And they've only gotten more and more expensive over the years. But Austin and I were talking, and I don't remember if it was on the podcast here, that the non-US versions, the European versions, the Asian versions that have English translations, are much cheaper than US English versions to get. So if you're looking for any, try finding those, because I got this one from Sam really cheap in comparison to what the US version was going for. Complete in box, everything. The only difference was it had a reproduction cover on it, which is fine by me. My A8 actually has a reproduction cover, until I found one on clearance at Walmart, surprisingly enough, recently.
Nice.
I say recently, it was probably like 2019 again, because
like 13 years ago.
Yeah, it was 13 years ago was recently. That was 2010. Like, I remember that. You and I had just met. Like, that's nuts. Like, it's, but anyway, yeah. I want to play 5 and 6 on the Famicom versions, and I'm really wanting to find a good handheld emulator version for those, because I own them. Like, this is one of those things, like, I don't usually like promote piracy or playing like emulated games that you don't own, so I'd go out of my way sometimes to get the real versions. But since they don't exist and I own the genuine versions of it, I think it's okay. Like, I feel it's okay to emulate the versions that I don't have, because I don't read Japanese.
I think
that's
fair.
Which is sad. But yeah, I want to play those. And DQ7 is one that I absolutely love. DQ7 now. It was very hard for me to get into. I had to start it a couple of times. You were the same way in terms of starting it a few times. Or did you just hate playthrough the first time?
Yeah. No, the first time I played it, I didn't hate it immediately. It took a little while. but yeah, then I didn't like it very much. But no, I never gave up on it. I went ahead and like powered through it, and then at the end of it, I was just kind of like, wow, I don't think I will ever replay this one. And
too
then
too bad.
And then I ended up replaying it like just like 2 years passed or something like that, and I ended up replaying it on the 2DS whenever we were doing our episodes. And then I also ended up booting up the PS1 version, bought the English PS1 version of it, and played it to like see the differences and just kind of experience it. And yeah, I'm kind of the same way, where I think Dragon Quest VII has become one of my favorites,
right? Yeah,
over time. And like, the longer I mean, you know, it's only been, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years since the last time I played it. But
maybe,
yeah,
so, yeah,
they like it, even though I do like it much more now, like it quickly did become one of the ones I'm most fond of. And that, like, when I think back to it, like there's a lot of things from that one where I'm like, man, I really like that one.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. Like, it was, I started it a couple, 3 times and just put it down, because the early parts of that game are fairly trudging, and the 3DS version of it is very trudging, but not as much as the PS1 version. So if you're planning on doing one, you know, just keep that in mind. But once I got into it, once I actually started being able to go around the islands and explore and really get into who the characters were, like get into just like, honestly, Maribel. I like Maribel. Like, I...
Hot take number two.
Hot take. Yeah, it's like, I like Maribel. Like, she's very annoying for a lot of the game. And then later on, it is just like, oh, yeah, Maribel's my girl. And so I can't help but really, really like her, even though...
I know you love Maribel, and I know a lot of people who really love Maribel, but it's just one of those things that I can't wrap my head around. Like, in subsequent playthroughs, I thought she was less annoying because I kind of knew what to expect.
Right, yeah. But
she's still hands down the most annoying Dragon Quest character, and like, for you and everyone else who loves her, I'm so happy that you do, because it makes Dragon Quest VII much less of a chore if you like her.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those that I can't wrap my head around.
And I get it. I completely understand it. And then, like, I'll never forgive DQ7 for taking one of my favorite characters after I get attached to them, and then taking them away from my party. I hate it when games take people away from my party, but they took my favorite party member away.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, just letting you know, I'm not even going to say anything else. They took my favorite character away, and I'm mad.
No, like, I want to talk about this for just a second. Because, okay. So y'all skip ahead for like a minute. Because I'm also really bummed out with Kiefer. But yeah. I think it's really clever the way they bring in, like, what's her name? Ash and Ash. Everything. It's like, yeah. Kiefer's like descendant. And then just like, you get the note at the very end. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm tearing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Here. Like, it's very sad, you know? And... like, I'm super disappointed that Kiefer goes away forever too, especially that I feel like it happens right as you're really starting to love him.
Yeah.
Like, so don't get me wrong, I'm very disappointed with that, but I think in terms of like the narrative impact that has on the story is just, it's one of the most impactful like narrative points in any Dragon Quest game. And so I'm kind of glad they did, because it really has a punch behind it.
But I mean, also it really does.
But also it's not just for the sake of like, red shirting Kiefer or anything like that.
No.
Although he does have a red shirt.
He does have a red shirt.
But yeah, it's like, it doesn't feel like it's just for the sake of like, oh, we're going to make you sad now. But like it really serves a purpose for the other characters, and also just the overall like reaching narrative of the entire game.
Yeah. Because when this happens in the game, like, I was really, really sad. And so we're still on spoilers here. So if you're coming back in, forward again, if you don't want the spoilers. But when you kind of go along a little bit further after you lose him and you find his grave, and yeah, like, it's really impactful, but at the same time, it's directly beside the woman he stayed in the past for, and like, they live this happy life. And so it's like, you know, fun, silly Dragon Quest games, ah, ha, ha, ha. And then there's like this meaningful like life choice of this character that you end up caring about, and then to descend it much later, like you said with Ash, it's like, it's one of the best story beats in any of the Dragon Quest games, even though I'm mad at them for taking Kiefer away from me, because he was my favorite character and I wanted him to grow through the story. And I wanted to continue playing as him.
Yeah, for sure. All right, spoilers over if you've been fast forwarding for the last 2 minutes. Spoilers done.
This is a good time for us to stop, since it's spoilers over, so that people can forward along. And it seems like it's time for some shameless self-promotion.
Shameless, 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 shameless. I don't like doing this. I don't like it.
you put some real oomph in that one.
Yeah.
Good job.
I don't like that. I'm glad you do this.
So, as Austin half-heartedly put it, this is Shameless Self-Promotion with Beej and Austin. And we have a Patreon that, if you would like to support this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. Support us in doing this a whole lot more. Back to you, Austin. Do you have anything shameless about?
I have nothing shameless to talk about this week. So it's all yours. Give us some more DQ goodness.
So DQ8, right? This is my entry point to the series, like, as a real player and appreciating it as an adult. Yeah. You know, like, 6-7 year old me playing DQ1 on the NES is great memories and all, but it didn't get me to play a lot of like RPGs in my entire life, like Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy 3 did, but Final Fantasy 6. But DQ8, when I saw my friend playing it on the 3DS, and Bobby posted a picture of a Sabercat on Twitter, I was like, that's pretty, I want to play that. And so I got 8, played it, and didn't like it at first. Like, it wasn't that I didn't like it at first. It was that it was so basic compared to what other games I've been playing. It was so fundamental in its gameplay that I was like, there's not nearly enough customization in this. The fights are so straightforward. They're just turn-based. There's nothing going on. I was like, I don't, you know, there's just these, you put points and skills and that's it. And I was like, I don't think I'm gonna stick with this. And then I get to a certain point in the story, right after you get Jessica in your party, that, or maybe right before, I can't remember exactly where that is, since it really has been like 5 or 6 years since I played it.
It was 2017, actually, because at the time, I know we're talking about this, because at the time, the twins were newborn, and they were in the NICU a lot, and I was looking for like comfort food games to play, and I started playing Dragon Quest Heroes 2, and I was talking about how much I loved it, and you were playing DQ8 on the 3DS, and you were talking about how much you loved it, and we were like nerding out about Dragon Quest and JRPGs a lot.
Yep. And so it just turned out like this. It's been a long time, so I don't remember exactly where that plot point was, but it got me to really like the game, see what it was doing and why it wasn't like fundamental and basic. It was that it was traditional and all of this was on purpose. And so that's what really got me into the series, was recognizing that the games were not just copies of each other, that this was all conscious design decisions instead of laziness putting out the same game over the course of like 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like 8. It is still one of my least favorite now, just because of the ones that I have played all the way through. It's good. It's just not amazing. And if this is one of the ones that you feel is amazing out there, I am so happy for you. But
Hot take number three.
Yeah, it's like, I just don't care about it. Like, I guess that's the better way to put it, is like, I don't care about it. Once I was done, I was kind of done. And I have not gone back, even though I need to go back and see that I never got the pirate lady red in my playthrough of the 3DS.
You did, because she's not optional.
And the reason that I haven't gone back and done this is because the 3DS does not have saves. Okay, the 3DS doesn't have like easily removable external storage, and DQ8 doesn't, for some reason, save it on the cartridge. And so I haven't gone back and replaced the SD card inside my 3DS, because it's you have to take the thing apart. And my saves are on the old SD card and not the one I'm playing on right now, so I don't want to disassemble my 3DS to do that. But I'm pretty sure I never got her. Like I'm still holding out that I didn't, because I don't remember her even a little bit.
But you did. I'm fairly certain that she just, because, like, I mean, I never really used her, and that's the thing with these optional characters on the 3DS version, is that like you have that core four member party already that like you're used to, and so it's kind of just like whenever you can get to Red or Mori, who is optional. Yes. It's like, why use them? And I mean, I feel that way about a lot of optional characters, or like late in the game characters in a lot of games like this. But for that one, yeah, it's just like, it's cool that they added those as characters and let you do that for anybody who wants to. But I just feel like the core four members there already have like good mechanics, and they each kind of offer their own thing, but they meld well together, because, I mean, the game was originally designed that way. And so it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's part of the, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality, where it's just like, same thing for with them, you know, letting you marry Jessica at the end. Like, I didn't do that either, because, again, it's just like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So that's kind of how I've been. But in all your hot takes so far, I think that's probably the one I agree with. Yeah. I think Dragon Quest VIII is kind of a middle DQ game for me, which I realize is kind of a big issue, especially for people who I think were like kids, or that was their first Dragon Quest game, respond really well to that one. And I think it can work really well as like an introduction to the series, as you've shown here. It can really get you into the series as a whole. But yeah, like of all the Dragon Quest games, it's kind of near the middle bottom for me. Yeah. And this is still the only, I think the only Dragon Quest game I haven't ever replayed, but I have the PS2 version as well. So at some point this year, I just started playing Slime Mori Mori 3, but at some point this year, I am going to boot up the PS2 version of DQ8 so we can do some episodes on like a Dragon Quest 8 replay based on the PS2 version. So that's coming at some point, I promise.
And I'm actually kind of amazed that I missed Dragon Quest 8 when it came out, because I was very much an RPG gamer on the PS2, and I was a super duper Final Fantasy fan. And the American version of Dragon Quest 8 came with a Final Fantasy 12 demo, and somehow I never picked them up. Like, I didn't get the 12 demo. I didn't get DQ8. And I'm kind of amazed I didn't do it and play 8 because of that. Like, I don't know what was going on in my life at the time that I completely bypassed both of them, because I remember buying Final Fantasy 12 the day it came out. So I don't know what was up with me not getting the demo that is like right within my like everything that I would do, perfect behavior that I would get and play both of these games. Don't know what happened. I don't know. Maybe I was just drinking too much. it was the end of my college career is right around the time it came in. It was the end of my college career, or at the beginning of my, when I started grad school. So it was right then. And so it really was a busy time, but I hate that I missed that.
So Dragon Quest nine.
Okay. So 9 is probably my favorite game. 9 goes back to the main, like 3 Dragon Quest games, and especially number 3, and lets you create your own party. It does not have a hero character in the traditional sense. It has someone that you make, give them a personality, and then you get to hire and make your own party again. And in terms of fighter characters, and the game doesn't actually give you good messaging on that, because I missed when I could make my party. And like, I knew it was coming, and I thought I had to go through the next story beat before I could come back and make my party. And so I went and fought the next boss, like this Death Knight, solo, underleveled and solo, and got super frustrated, but eventually beat it. And then I came back to town. I was like, oh, cool, I can make my party. And then I realized, like, oh, cool, I could have made my party before. That would have been much less frustrating. So if you do that, remember, you can make your party before you fight that boss. And it is much easier with a party, because I went back and did that. The thing about 9 that I like the most is that it's pretty. Like, it's a 3DS game that is absolutely gorgeous. Like, I love the graphics on this. I love the designs. And just pretty much, it's got angel people, and they got wings, Austin. These are angel people with wings.
Yes.
And y'all, our constant listeners here know BJ likes characters with wings. And this is a game about Dragon Quest characters with wings.
Yeah, it's all coming together now for why you love this one so much.
It is. It's all together, and it's like, that's one of the reasons I actually want to play 5 and 6 more is with the Zenithians, is that they are winged people. So, I just really love 9. Like, 9 is the one that I've spent probably the most time on. I've grinded in 9 because I love the job system. I love playing around and keeping skills from one job, using them with another. I absolutely adore being able to make my own party and my own heroes. I like giving them the right names. They have personalities in my mind. Like, they don't even come up in the story, but like the way that I was grinding and doing their jobs, it was like, these people have personalities. And so there's no way that I could give this character Paladin, because she's like this. And it's like, I love this game, and I probably grinded more with it than anything on Liquid Metal Slimes. I would just keep it open, watching TV or something, and just wander around killing slimes. I grinding up job points. Love that game. It is. I missed it again when it came out because I wasn't a 3DS gamer. I did not have. It was regular DS.
9 is regular DS. Yeah.
Oh man. Man, in my head, like right now thinking about it, I'm remembering seeing it in the 3D.
Yeah, I mean, you probably played it on your 3DS with like backward compatibility. But yeah,
but it wasn't with the actual 3D. But yeah, the it was a DS game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I had a DS, and I played a little bit of DS, but this wasn't... this was after, I'm thinking, that Final Fantasy III remake, the first time you actually got to play Final Fantasy III in English, came out for the 3DS or for the DS. Mm-hmm. And it made me so mad that I stopped playing RPGs because it was so bad. It was not fun, and it made me dislike that kind of game because it was so not fun.
Hot take number 4? I don't know.
4? But yeah,
I really like 3 on DS.
I know that there are a lot of people who do, but for some reason, the mixture of the job system along with having to buy all of your magic and like you can really screw yourself over, which I did, and get into dungeons and get in real bad trouble. Like, I don't know. It is still very much an NES game, and apparently I just don't like NES RPGs that much. I guess, like, I don't like that old school RPG, like without the quality of life stuff, like just learning magic. Same thing for EverQuest. I didn't like having to go all over the world and buy my spells in EverQuest. That was something I thought was really frustrating. But 9's probably my favorite, and it does have one of the more understandable and relatable villains. In all of them as well.
Corvus!
Corvus is great. Like, I love Corvus. It's a little weird. It's like they insulted my my girlfriend, made her cry, and then I'm going to...
No, that's Sorrow. Corvus, they kill her. They kill Serena.
Oh, they do kill her in that one. Yeah, Sorrow's the one that's kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, like, I'd kind of destroy the world if somebody, like, killed Jennifer. So...
Challenge accepted.
No. But and then that gets us to 10.
Yes.
Which I played a little bit of 10. Mm-hmm. I could not bring myself to play a lot of 10 simply because of it being in Japanese. Like, I had fun with it. I liked the gameplay. I liked everything. But without being able to actually read the story, I ended up just being like, oh, this is an MMO, this is Dragon Quest, but I'm not getting any of the fun puns or any part of it. So I ended up just dropping off of it, but you kept playing it through the first 2 or 3 expansions. I can never remember.
I'm on version 3. Yeah. Before I stopped subbing to it. And I think now you can actually, maybe you can even play all the way through version 3 for free. I can't remember. I feel like they changed it. Like, I had to start subbing to it anyway. Like, I had to start subbing to it, and then they changed it. And I know now you can do 1 and 2 for free, mm-hmm. maybe even 3. I don't know.
I was thinking you could 3 now, but I'm not sure. I maybe I'm just making that up.
I don't know. Somebody can tell us.
Yeah, somebody tell us. And if you can, y'all should play it. Y'all should give it a shot. We have guides on geek2geekmedia.com that Austin wrote up about how to play it on your American Switch by creating a Japanese Square Enix account. Because they removed all of the like firewalling of IPs and stuff, so we can play on Japanese servers. So you should definitely check that out. There are also, is it RyanQuest.com that has all of the 10 walkthroughs and translations and stuff now?
RyanQuest, yeah.
Yeah, so y'all check out Ryan Molina's Dragon Quest X content. If it had been around when I was trying to play, I probably would have stuck with it longer. And I think now I'm just mad at Dragon Quest X for not ever coming out here. I'm just like, I'm not even getting into it. I'm not even going to make myself like this game. I'm just going to get sad again. It's kind of like after a bad breakup when you don't want to date anymore. And it's like, I'm never going to date again. So that means I'll probably be back in a couple of years. Thanks, Ryan. And then there's DQ11. I mean, 11 is just the best of them. I think 11's the best DQ game, I think, is the best place to start out with for new players. If you don't like DQ11, then you are probably not going to like the rest of them. And I say that as a new player, like,
or this podcast, or Dragon Quest,
or Dragon Quest in general.
Why are you listening to this? Yeah.
But I mean, I do know people who have started it. It's not their kind of game, but they couldn't get into any of the other DQ games either. They might have been able to get into Heroes or something like that, but the more action-oriented ones. But there are people who don't like it, and, you know, more power to them. But I think 11 is really the top tier of what the games can be. It really is a culmination of everything that's great. And I think that if you haven't played all the way through Dragon Quest 11, from the beginning to the post credits, through all of the post credit stuff,
like
that you're doing yourself
credits.
A disservice. Yeah, the second set of credits, you need to do it, because there's about a third of the game that is after the original credits, the first credits, and it basically makes the story what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, just 11. I do have some hot takes for 11. And you know this.
I know where you're going.
Happened
with
a few times. I don't like the parade. The parade is the worst part.
Boo.
it is boring and it might be because of the I played 11S when I got to that part, but I'd had to go around with Silvando and do all the stuff like in the new content that they put out.
And it cheapens it.
It does. Yeah. Like, so I knew what was going on, and I was like, I hate talking to all of these people and being like, yeah, let's get the band back together. Cool. And then it's like the parade and everything happens, and I'm like, yeah, I've done this. And so I don't like the parade. I know people roast me about that all the time. They called it Parade Gate. people got so upset when I first said that I didn't like the parade. It was like I insulted their moms. And
I think it was Steve Whitcamp who coined the term Parade Gate.
Thanks,
credit
Steve.
Where credit is due.
And I mean, I don't mean to insult your mom, but if she liked the parade, then I'm sorry. But no, I don't like the parade part, and I don't like the fishy part. I don't like when you become
you
a little
suck.
Fishy. Now, you love the fishy. You love that fish part. And for me, I don't know, it just doesn't fit where it's put in the story. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood both times I played through it in the vanilla version and the XIS, 11S. And I don't know. I just find that part tedious. I usually, once I get used to playing a character, I want to continue playing that character. Kiefer, and I don't like it when they take away my agency, I guess, as a player, whereas like I just wanted to play my game, and now you turn me into a fish, and I didn't care about the mermaid story at all. Like, I was like, yep.
So serious question here about this, though. How do you feel about, like, in, because I know you like Kingdom Hearts games, so it's not a problem when Sora turns into like a lion. Or when he turns into a mermaid, I guess that would be a good comparison, because you have.
I hate the Atlantis underwater ones. Like, the Little Mermaid ones are terrible.
Okay, I hate it as well, but it's more about the swimming mechanics than anything.
Yeah, the swimming has never been good. Does Sora turn into a lion? I thought you just got.
No, he turns into a little lion, and Donald's a bird, like a toucan type bird, and Goofy is like a turtle, I think.
But the gameplay remains the same.
Kingdom Hearts 2. Like, yeah, I mean, the combat and stuff remains fairly similar. That's why I went back and said Little Mermaid, because I think that's the best comparison here.
Now, the Little Mermaid part, I despise.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
I've always despised it. That's one of the reasons I'm actually curious about how I like Final Fantasy 16, is because there are so many, like, from what I've seen so far, at least, like, there are multiple battle styles in the game where it's like you have to, like, get better at, like, the summon fights as well as the regular combat. And so it's, I don't know. I'm not sure how I'm going to like that game at all after watching some gameplay of it, but we'll see. But yeah, so those are all of my hot takes and going through the series. Give us yours on Twitter or email us or message us on Patreon. Well, there's DQ12 that's coming out, and I guess my hot take on that one is I don't want it to, that I would be okay with it being dark, but I don't want it to be gritty.
Yeah.
So like I have a feeling like it's going to be a little darker and more serious in tone, but I don't want it to be gritty like Dark Souls or Elden Ring kind of gritty. Like serious and darker is fine, but not like grimdark kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think it will be, because at the end of the day, you're still going to be fighting like slimes and things like that. And that's going to be a hard thing to put in a grim, dark setting.
That's true. Well, thank you for listening. And if you'd like to talk to us more, you can find us on Twitter at Dragon Quest FM. You can find me on Twitter at Professor Beej, or on Mastodon at Beej at Dice.Camp. If you want to join us on Discord, it is discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And we would always love your support on Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
And I'm on Twitter at Dragon Quaston, and have nothing else to add to that.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time, folks. Bye.
Bye.